Welcome to Torah Dimacha Parsha. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Parshios, Achrimos, and Kedoshim, the 6th and 7th Parsha of Sefer Vayikra. While Achrimos focuses primarily on two topics, that of the service in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur and of forbidden relationships, Parshas Kedoshim is a tour of all kinds of mitzvos, those between a person and Hashem, and those between a person and other people. There are mitzvot applicable only in Israel, and those applicable out of Israel, for a total of 51 mitzvot in one short parsha. These mitzvot, when properly observed, will lead us to be kadosh, holy, which is how the parsha begins, kadoshim tihiyu, you should be holy. I'd like to focus today on a progression of mitzvot that deal with interpersonal relationships and how each law builds on the one before. These laws operate on two levels. Hashem wants to reward us, so he gives us opportunities to get involved in the world and help the world become a better place, even though he could handle it on his own. And Hashem wants us to improve our character, so he gives us mitzvot that allow us to focus and develop one particular character trait. The parsha begins with laws that are directed to the service of Hashem. Then, after discussing laws regarding karbanos, the parsha in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tes, turns to societal laws. The first law in this series is a command to leave a portion of the produce of our fields and vineyards in Israel to the poor. This command ensures that we provide for the most vulnerable in our society. Although this seems to be a nice social justice law, there to protect the poor, Hashem has many ways to provide for his creations. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us that we are told to get involved because the act of giving tzedakah impacts us. Hashem wants us to be empathetic, just like he is empathetic. So he gave us ways to develop this character trait. We are going to see that this is a theme that runs throughout the parsha. The interpersonal laws impact how society functions and makes it a better place to live, as well as that the laws also impact us and refine our character. After these laws of tzedakah, the parsha then moves to a series of negative commandments with written in the plural. You, addressing the community, should not steal, not deny, not lie. There are then additional laws written in the singular, not to harm the more vulnerable, to judge fairly, and not to be a gossip. This series of negative commandments of what we cannot do to our neighbors ends with the most famous of the interpersonal laws, the Ahavta L'Re'echa Kmocha, you should love your friend as yourself. Is there a logic to the commandments as listed, and how do all these mitzvot add up to make us holy? If I asked you to describe a holy person, you would be more likely to describe an ascetic instead of a person with good social skills. To understand how all these mitzvot make us holy, let's take a look at the last mitzvah in the series, the mitzvah to love one's neighbor. The Sefer HaChinuch looks at this mitzvah quite practically. When we love someone, we will care for them. And as we treat them, so will they treat us. When people are gracious and generous with others, it creates peace between neighbors. There is shalom, there is harmony. Why is peace so important that it is the ultimate goal of these mitzvot? And why does having harmony lead to holiness? There is another series which concludes with peace as well that will help us understand this question. When we look at the Shemoneh Esrei, we ask for many things: wisdom, health, livelihood. In the last bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, we say Sim Shalom, give us peace. When we say Birkas HaMazon after a meal, we end with Hashem Oz Le'ano Yitain, Hashem gives strength to his nation, Hashem Yivreich Es Amo Bashalom, Hashem should bless his nation with peace. Peace seems to be the goal for our prayers, and based on Kedoshim, for our interpersonal mitzvos. On a simple level, we can understand this. Chazal say, "Ein kli machazik bracha ela shalom." There is no vessel that can hold blessings except peace. When we can have many good things, but if we don't have peace, we can't appreciate them. Think about Ukraine. They had wheat fields and resources, but because there is no peace, no one can benefit from these blessings. Peace allows everything else to flourish and grow. There is an additional dimension to peace. The world is made up of two conflicting parts, the physical and the spiritual, heaven and earth. Our job on earth is to find a way to make the two coexist. That is a definition of shalom. When we look at physical things, they break apart. Every cell can be divided into organelles. Molecules divide into atoms, atoms into protons and neutrons, and they into quarks. The physical world is not unified. The spiritual world, however, is all unified. It is all a reflection of Hashem Echad, Hashem who is one. When we connect to others, that is a connection of the soul, and then our unified souls can connect to Hashem. Rav Reuven Kerelenstein says that when Yaakov's family went down to Mitzrayim, they are described as Shivim Nefesh, 70 soul. They were all one, and Hashem's Shechina traveled with them. To get the Torah, the Jewish people needed to be unified, and then Hashem's Shechina descended on them. We needed to build the Mishkan as a community, with each person contributing, and then Hashem's Shechina joined us. When we have peace, the Shechina, the holiness of Hashem, can descend. Shalom, then, is the vehicle through which we can access true holiness and become Kedoshim to you. The interpersonal mitzvos in the Parsha lead us to this goal of shalom. Rav Hirsch explains why the interpersonal laws regarding honesty and integrity are written in the plural and how this impacts our Kedusha and pursuit of shalom. The Psukim could have said, don't steal, don't lie, but that is too basic of an expectation for an individual's ethics. That should not define a person as holy. People should be honest. However, when these laws are written in the plural, they are meant as a guide for the nation as a whole. As a nation, we must be a nation of integrity. Our society must not tolerate or promote theft, dishonesty, or falsehoods of any kind. A society that turns a blind eye to issues of integrity causes individuals to have lax morals. Hashem abhors all things manipulative and dishonest, and so to be a holy nation, our communal values must reflect what Hashem wants, which is honesty. Only then will our nation be able to be holy. The Torah then tells us not to actively hurt others in order to benefit ourselves, which is understandable if we want to have a community that is peaceful and fair. It then tells us an interesting law that can help us further understand how and why we have all these interpersonal laws. The pasuk says, "Lo tekalel chiresh," do not curse a deaf person. What's the problem with this? Who is being harmed with a curse, especially if he can't hear it? There are a few definitions of klala, kuf lamed lamed, which help us narrow down what the damage is. The Ibn Ezra in Sefer Devarim says that klala is the opposite of bracha. Bracha means to add good to something, while kalel means to curse, it means to diminish something by making it kal, lighter than it was before. A person who curses causes a loss of some sort to another person. Alternatively, kuf lamed lamed means to shame, as it is used elsewhere in Devarim and in Navi in Shmuel. The embarrassment and degradation is problematic beyond any other damage. Rav Hirsch says this cursing lessens the other person's importance. This is a very broad prohibition where we cannot use our words to diminish others. This prohibition is widened even further by the addition of the word cheresh, a deaf mute. A cheresh in the times of the Torah was not just a person who could not hear. Without hearing aids, a person in the time of the Torah could not communicate. They were not integrated into society, and they are exempt from some mitzvos because of their isolation. The Torah tells us that we are not even allowed to curse a cheresh who cannot hear us and will not know what we say. Why not? First, the Sefer HaChinuch says that in all cultures, cursing someone is considered harmful. Our power of speech has an actual power. It makes an impact. Chazal say that kilalas hadyot oser roshem. The curse of a regular person makes an impression. They also say in Moed Katan, bris krusa l'sifasayim, a covenant is made with the lips. This means that our lips are given the ability to create a new reality by uttering words. Hashem does not want us to hurt others, whether that comes through our actions, which was the topic of the previous pasuk, or through our mouth, which is the topic of this pasuk. The Sefer HaChinuch explains why curses can cause damage to a deaf person just like any other physical damage. Speech is a special capability that Hashem gave only to people. When Adam was created and Hashem blew into him the Nishmas Chaim, the breath of life, Unklis explains that this was the Ruach Mamala, the ability to speak. Generally, an animal is limited in his capacity to harm or help others by those in his direct vicinity. Hashem gave us people the ability to extend our power beyond our bodies through communication. Speech is a gift that Hashem gave just to us, and that has power to create reality. And if we were given this power, we cannot use it to diminish someone else. The second reason, says the Chinuch, is the goal of all the interpersonal mitzvot, which is that we want shalom, and we do not want fights. And so we are told not to curse even a cheresh. The person may not hear, but we never know who else might overhear us, or that there's somebody who won't spread it. Cursing has a strong possibility of inflaming tensions, and so we cannot risk that blow to peace, even in most scenarios where it won't lead to any fights. The last reason brought by the Chinuch is that cursing is bad for the person who does the cursing. In a few psukim, the Torah will warn us against taking revenge against someone who has harmed us. cursing, and revenge are symptoms of an emotional state of anger. When one is angry, they lose themselves. Their physical side takes over their decision-making. They will do anything driven out of their base emotions. It is as if an animal is controlling them rather than their soul. For this reason, Chazal say that if someone is angry, it's as if they are serving idols. Being angry means we are disconnected from Hashem. We cannot curse or take revenge so that we can train ourselves to manage our anger so that we would never come to this. The first reason for not cursing connected us to the previous psukim. Just like we cannot harm others for our benefit, we cannot harm others for any reason. Just like we cannot steal or oppress, we cannot use our words as a weapon. The second reason connects us to our end goal. We want shalom, we want peace. We will not risk shalom being upended by our words, even if there is a 99% chance that they will not be spread. Third, these mitzvos help us in the present develop ourselves. How we act defines who we are. We want to develop into people who act like Hashem and guided by Hashem alone, so we cannot allow our anger to drive us to curse. The next series of laws deals with judgments in the court. We are commanded to be fair. And in our personal lives, we are commanded to judge others favorably. When there is justice, there is order, and then there is peace. As the Chinuch says, Kol kavanas ha-mitzvah, v'ho'il b'yushuv b'nei adam, im yashar ha-din, v'letzeis b'inam shalom. The whole intent of the commandment is to help in the civilization of people with righteousness of judgment and to bring peace among them. Giving someone the benefit of the doubt is included in this category, as giving the benefit of the doubt promotes good feelings and minimizes arguments, which of course is our goal. The Torah now lists elements that can break down or build a cohesive society in the next psukim. We cannot gossip, and we must help save each other from troubles. With a society where we don't harm each other, we help each other, and we don't pit our friends against our neighbors, it seems like it should be a utopia. But because we are human, we are still not guaranteed that we will have peace. Since humans aren't perfect, we hurt each other, even if only by accident, and we need a mechanism to repair the hurt. The pasuk tells us, Lo tisna achicha belvavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. The Torah tells us explicitly not to hate each other. How could this happen, especially amongst a holy nation? Let's imagine that your friend Rivka forgets to invite you to a party and you're upset. You're not going to tell anyone, you won't curse her, you try to give her the benefit of the doubt, but she has done this so many times that it's already predictable. But you're a nice person, so you don't say anything. She asks, she sees you're upset, she asks you, what's the matter? And you say, I'm fine. She asks again, really, I'm fine. But the next time she comes late, bam, out comes the gossip and the anger and the vitriol. Resentments lead to all the problems we have had over the millennia. Silent resentments will come out as active hatred. How can we get back to peace when we have resentments? The Torah next gives us a process. The mechanism for this is Hocheach tocheach es amisecha. You should rebuke your nation. The Torah's prescription is clear. When there is an issue, we must discuss it so that we can air our differences and work this out. The halacha defines the parameters of exactly how this should be done so we don't end up adding other sins such as verbal abuse and shaming to the list. Rebuking must be done privately so as not to embarrass the other person. It must be said calmly and gently. When the conversation is shared privately with the right focus and frame of mind, we can figure out the path forward together. Part of moving away from resentments is communicating our needs, but then we need to let the issue go. The next pasuk tells us, Lo sikom v'lo sitor, we cannot take revenge by withholding something from another, nor can we give to another while feeling superior. We must truly move on from our hurt so we can then feel like we can treat our friend as we ourselves would like to be treated. Not taking revenge creates a peaceful society, which is, of course, an opportunity that Hashem is giving us. Not taking revenge builds an additional piece of our character. There is a phrase, don't sweat the small stuff, and then you realize it's all small stuff. If you come across a bunch of kids arguing, most likely it's because one found a rock that the other wanted, or one wants to stand on the crack at recess and the other needs to stand in the same 3 inches. Our adult arguments are just as petty. The skill being developed here is to be able to right-size our conflicts. Let's say we didn't get invited to the party or the other person didn't return the notebook back to the correct spot in the office. Is it worth it to get so upset? How much is your lost peace of mind worth? By not taking revenge, we develop the ability to see the broader picture. Another part of our character that gets developed is our faith in Hashem. We believe that everything that happens to us is from Hashem. When someone hurts us, we can choose to acknowledge that it is from Hashem and grow our betachon muscle, or we can shift the blame to our poor neighbor. Why get angry at the messenger rather than the one who sent him? These halachos build up our ability to overlook the slights and develop our emotional maturity so we are not swayed by others' behavior. Finally, once we have a society that has integrity, once we understand that we need to be how to behave and that we cannot harm others, that we cannot curse, we need to have justice for all, we must judge favorably so we don't that we can't hate somebody in our heart, we have to give mussar, we need to work out our problems, only then will we be able to fulfill the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kmocha. When we treat others properly, we develop ourselves into those who are more similar to Hashem, and we create peace in society so that Hashem can come and live with us. Have a good Shabbos.